tonight, unfortunately, our speaker was not able to join us, and we want to pray for Brother Light. And he was going to talk about making it plain about true believers. So I'll go ahead and bring the message tonight. So if you would open your Bible, the intent of us studying together is the fact that all of us know that we're going to die. Knowing that we're going to die, we know there is something after death. We believe that. That's why we are on this call tonight. We believe that the Bible reveals to us what's after death. And we want to go to heaven. And I hope you're on the call tonight and you're one of those who consider yourself a believer in Jesus. And you want to go to heaven. There's a heaven to win and a hell to miss. The Bible tells us about both places. So who's going to go to heaven? It'll be those who are true believers. But let's go to the Bible and find out. Let's go to Matthew chapter 7, and now, if you would tonight, take yourself out the picture and ask Jesus who's going to heaven. Let's ask him that question. Who are these believers that will go to heaven? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. And notice this. This is Jesus speaking himself. He just said to all of us, everyone, not everyone, that call him Lord, that these are believers, as we would define them today. Many would say, if you believe in Jesus, then you are a believer. Or are you a true believer? He says, there are some believers who shall not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. He said, they're not going to go. These believers here were obviously not true believers. So not everyone. That could be me, could be you, because your mother, my mother. Many people say they believe in Jesus, but these are not Muslims. These are not Buddhists. These are not Hindus. These are people who call themselves believers in Christ. They call themselves Christians. So Jesus said, here's who's going to go. Here are the true believers. It's he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. So if Jesus is doing the will of his Father, which is in heaven, he's saying the people who are going to go to heaven will be those who do the will of his Father. Now, let's go to John chapter 7. Ask Jesus, what is the will of your Father? In John chapter 7 and verse 16, he answers this question. Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but he is that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. That any man could be any of us. Whoever this person is going to heaven must know something. What must they know, Lord? They must know of, notice, the doctrine, T-H-E. The doctrine meaning one definite article. There's one doctrine that the true believer must know in order to go to heaven. So we ask Jesus, who's going to heaven? Not everyone. Not some of those who call themselves believers. Who's going, Lord? Only those who do the will of the Father of Christ. Any man who go to heaven must know, have knowledge of one doctrine. So the next question we would ask Jesus would be, what doctrine must I know to identify me as a true believer? What doctrine of what teaching must I know? In 2 John verse 9, the Bible records, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in, notice here it is, the definite article there, D-T-H-E, doctrine of Christ, hath not God. Notice that. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ hath both the Father and the Son. Now, I'd like to illustrate this like this. Let's say you're in a neighborhood with two but a lot of yards, a lot of houses in it. And your next door neighbor could be your sister, your brother, your mom or dad. And you leave home and you tell your child to abide in the yard. That's your home, your yard. A lot of other yards in the neighborhood. But you tell that child to abide, which means stay, in the yard. There's one. Do not transgress the gate. Do not open the gate and leave the one yard. Now, when you think of that, you have given that child instructions not to leave the one yard. But that child leaves that yard and goes next door to the other yard. My question to all of you, as parents, even though the next door neighbor may have been your sister, your brother, your mom or dad, or someone you trust, when you come home, would it be okay that your child left the one yard you told them to be in when you returned and was in another yard? Could that child be in the yard of their choice? Could that child go to any yard in the neighborhood? Or would you, as a parent, a father, a mother, expect that child to be in the yard you told them to be in when you came home, which would be your yard? There were no options. You did not give that child an option of attending the yard of his or her choice. So you were very direct. Abide in the yard until daddy come home. Now, let's take that and make an application with it. Where did these believers go wrong? Did they leave the doctrine, the one teaching of Christ? Well, Jesus said in Matthew 15:8, "This people draw nigh unto me with their mouth." These sound like believers. They calling on Jesus. "Honor me with their lips," they say, "in the name of Jesus. But their heart," underline that, "is far from me." These are Christians, they think. These are believers, we would say. Are they true believers? They're calling on Jesus. They're calling his name. They're honoring him with their lips. But there's something wrong. Jesus said, it's their heart. What heart is Jesus speaking of? But the Bible says in Matthew 15:19, Jesus says, "For out of the heart proceed thoughts." There it is. Thoughts. Where do thoughts occur? It occurs in our mind, our heart. So, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So there's knowledge required for the true believer to go to heaven. What knowledge must he or she have? It's the doctrine or the teaching of Christ. So Jesus said, these people, they get close to me with their mouth. Yes, they're honoring me with their mouth. They're calling me their Lord. They're worshiping me. But listen to verse 9. He identifies the kind of worship that these believers who are not true believers, he says, "In vain they do worship me." Notice what's going on. Vain means empty. This worship these believers are conducting is no good. "In vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines," but notice this doctrine has an S on it. Remember, there was one yard. But when you put an S on yards, the kid could have went to any of the yards. But in the case here, Jesus is pointing out what they obeyed were doctrines, the commandments of men. These were people who were calling Jesus the Lord, thought they were worshiping him according to truth, but Jesus did identify it as vain. Then he says, the reason it's vain is because his doctrines is the commandments of men. Let's just recap this thing. Lord, we ask you, who's going to heaven? Well, not everyone. Even some who think they are believers. Yes, they are believers, but they are not true believers. Why is that? He says only doers of the one will of the Father of Christ will go to heaven. Whoever that man or woman is, they must have knowledge. They must know of the one doctrine, which is the teaching of Christ, and they must abide or stay with that one doctrine. And then they must avoid doctrines with an S on it of men, which leads to vain or no good worship. How can we know the difference between a true believer and a believer who is not true? A true believer will be one who follows the doctrine of Christ. He will be the one who will stay in the one yard, as the Father told him. When he's coming home, he want to find you in this one yard or one teaching the doctrine. And we must avoid the doctrines of men. Now, on this call, what we've been doing for almost a year is have been exposing doctrines of men. So let's compare and contrast what true believers are versus those who true believers are versus those who think they're true believers, but because they have got caught up in doctrines or the teachings of men, they're not going to go to heaven. Why? They're not true believers. Here it is. Let's compare and contrast. Let's say, and I grew up, just to give you a little background on me. Now, I grew up on the Baptist faith. Not that I went to church every Sunday or did anything like that. It was because my mom and dad and grandfather and grandmother, all of them were Baptists. Good people, all Baptist people are good. I'd be the last one to let you talk about my family. But it wasn't of the people that creates a problem here. It is the teaching that creates a problem. Here's what it said. No baptism is necessary. That's what we were taught. We could accept Jesus in our heart as a personal Savior, and everyone goes to heaven who believed in Jesus. All you had to do was believe. That was enough. Basically what we were taught. That's what we saw growing up. Every funeral I went to was a homegoing celebration. He believed in Jesus as his personal Savior at a young age. But he died drunk, or he died gambling, or whatever he was doing. He died in sin, what I'm saying. And you walk into that funeral, and everybody's in there is clapping and happy because this person is going to heaven. Because what they're saying is, all you have to do is believe. He wasn't baptized, but he believed in Jesus. That was good enough. That's what the world wants us to believe. That's what Franklin Graham and Billy Graham and all these big-time TV evangelists promote. But what does the doctrine of Christ say? When you go to the Bible, Jesus said, if man says no baptism is necessary, you make a chart right there in front of you in the next 5 minutes. Put down on one side of your chart, on your paper, doctrines of men. On the other side, put doctrine of Christ. Doctrines with an S of men right there on one side, left side. Right side, right, doctrine of Christ. Now, when I compare and contrast at the end of this lesson, you'll know if you're a true believer or not. Here's how we do it. First one, no baptism. Man says, no baptism necessary. Just believe on it. Well, the doctrine or the teaching of Christ is found in Mark 16, 15 and 16. He says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Notice this. Verse 16, he that believeth and he is baptized shall be saved. Jesus never said, you don't have to be baptized. He did say this, he that believeth not shall be damned. Now, if you don't believe, then you don't believe in baptism, which means you're not a true believer. Let's do another one. Man says, pray the sinner's prayer. Write that down, number two, under men. Man says, here's what you do to be saved. The Lord, I'm a sinner, come into my heart. I accept you as my personal Savior. But the doctrine of Christ or the teachings of Christ found in John 9:31, the Bible says after Jesus healed this blind man, the blind man was told Jesus was a sinner. The blind man says, this we know, that God heareth not sinners. The blind man said, we know this. How did he know this? Isaiah 59:1-2. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is your evident that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins, notice this, have hid his face from you, that he will not. It's not that God cannot hear sinners. He will not, because that's not the teaching of Christ. So the teaching of Christ, number two, is that God does not hear sinners. Man say he hears sinners. God said he doesn't. Number three, man says any church will do. Write that one down on your left side. Christ said in Matthew 16:18, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Jesus said that, he never said any church. He identified it as his, my church. Now, when you own something, you understand that it belonged to you. Christ purchased the church with his blood, and it belongs to him. Number four, what if man says, attend the church of your choice? Well, the teaching of Christ says this. Ephesians 4:4 said there is one body. Ephesians 1:22 teaches us that the body is the church. Colossians 1:18 teaches us that the body is the church. Colossians 1:24 teaches us that the body is the church. So when the teachings of Christ, the New Testament, the teachings of Christ teaches us there is one body. There is one church. So church of choice did not come from Christ. That came from man. That's a constitutional freedom. God never gave us constitutional freedom. God didn't write the Constitution. Man did. So God, Jesus, never said, attend the church of choice. There is no choice when you got but one. There's one God. There's no choice. One Lord. No choice. One Holy Spirit. No other choice. One baptism. No other choice. One faith. That's the book called the Bible. This is found in Ephesians 4:4-6. Let's do number five. Man tells you today, preachers tell you today, call them Father. Call the Pope. He's the Holy Father. Not to put down on the Catholic people. Not to put down on Baptist people. Not to put down. People are good people in all these churches. That's not what we're doing. We're trying to find out who true believers are. True believers will not call their preacher Father. Because Jesus said in Matthew 23:7-9, call no man Father. This is not a biological, not my daddy. This is talking about a religious leader. Now, that's predominantly in the Catholic Church, the largest so-called believers in the world. But they do not teach the teachings or the doctrine of Christ, my friends. This man will allow you not only to call him Father, but the Holy Father. All priests allow you to call them Father, but Jesus clearly taught not to do that. Now, here's something goes on with what I grew up calling preachers reverend. But Psalm 111:9 tells us this. Holy and reverend is God's name. If a man who calls himself a man of the cloth, as they call him, a preacher of God's word, if he respected the word of God, he will never allow you to call him reverend. He will never allow you to call him Father. He wouldn't allow you to call him doctor in the pulpit. Because Jesus said in Matthew 23:7-9, you're all brethren. He said, you're all brethren in the church of the Christ. Because we follow the doctrine of Christ, I will only allow you to refer to me as Brother Brooks. Why? Because I'm a true believer. That God meant what he said in the word. Let's do another one. Divisions by denominations or non-denominations. Man says, hey, attend the church of your choice. We all believe in the same Jesus. We all okay. Christ said, no division. 1 Corinthians 1:10. Paul said, now I beseech you, brother, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing. This is in the teachings of Christ, the doctrine of Christ, an apostle's doctrine. Speak the same thing. Now think about this. Let there be no divisions among you. There should be no divisions in the Church of Christ. Should be no divisions in the speakings of Christ. We should not be divided. Christ teaches against division. So how can denominations be representative of those who are true believers? Because they're promoting division. You can believe what you want to believe. I can believe what I want to believe. Christ never said that. The last one. Someone says, there's nothing in the name, doctrine of men. Well, in Acts 4 and verse 10 and through 12, the Bible says, neither there's salvation any other. But there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we might be saved. Now you've got this chart as I close. Below the chart, you should see, if you're on the side with doctrine and commandments of men, you're not a true believer. And you're not going to be saved. And here's the thing I've done tonight. I told you. Jesus said it like this in Matthew 7, 13 and 14. Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Notice this. Many there be to go in there. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it. Now, go back to Matthew 7 where we started. In verse 22-21, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father. Now we find believers here, but they're not true believers. They are representing the many. Remember Jesus said, many will go that broad way. They don't know the doctrine or the teachings of Christ. That's the problem. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name cast out devils and done many wonderful works? Don't these sound like believers who are good people? Yes, these are good people, no doubt. But the shock will be in verse 23 when they will learn that they were not true believers. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you a worker of iniquity. See, you didn't follow the law of Christ or the doctrine of Christ, and what you obeyed was doctrines and commandments of men. I hope you're not going to be in that person, that you'll be shocked on the day of judgment. Go back to the chart I gave you. If you're on the side on the doctrine and commandments of men, you have not been baptized, you prayed a sinner's prayer, you believe in any church would do, you believe a church of choice, you believe you can call your preacher reverend, father, a doctor, whatever, you believe that the denominations, okay, you believe there's nothing in the name, then you're going the broad way that will lead you to destruction. But if you believe that what Jesus taught, that I to be saved, I must believe and be baptized, what Jesus taught that God does not hear sinners, what Jesus taught that there's only one church and it was his, what Jesus said, call no man father, call no man reverend, holy reverend is God's name, do you believe that the denomination, there should be no divisions? Do you believe there's salvation in any other name other than Christ? Do you believe there really is a straight and a narrow way that only a few going to find? I do. And do you know who's going to find that straight and narrow way? True believers. Jesus said in John 4:23, the hour coming and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father, notice, in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is seeking those who are seeking to be true worshipers. To be a true worshiper, you must be a true believer. If you're a true believer, then you X out the left side of your chart. And you ask, Brother Brooks, what must I do to get my name on this other side? I want to be among the few. Well, here's what you must do. I'm going to tell you. You must believe the gospel. What is the gospel, Brother Brooks? John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. If you quote this with me, listen carefully. Quote it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, if you say shall not perish, you've been misled. Because it don't say shall. That's who those who believe, all you got to do is believe, inserted the word shall in there. Now, if you misquoted that, you and God and me, you and God know that you didn't know this until Brother Brooks told you. It says should not, and you should not perish because God so loved you that he gave his only son. God so loved you that he allowed his son to come to this world, Jesus came, born of a Virgin Mary, lived about 33 years. He went to 6 trials. He was innocent. They beat him with a whip. They put a crown of thorns on his head. They put a tree on his back to carry it to Calvary. And there they would execute him by execution, by crucifixion. Our Lord would hang between 2 thieves with nails in his hands and his feet. This is the good news called the gospel. Jesus said, greater love had no man than this, that he laid down his life for his friend. He suffered on the cross so we could be saved, so we could find that straight and narrow way, my friends. And you must believe it, that he was on that cross. You ought to see him with the blood running off his head from the thorns, from the stripes on his body, as Isaiah said, by his stripes are we healed. It was the stripes from the whip that they whipped him with. The blood came from the stripes, my friend. The blood came. You got to believe it without ever being there. Faith coming by hearing by the word of God. Do you believe that Jesus hung on that cross that day? Then if you believe he hung on that cross that day, then why wouldn't you believe everything he said in this book called the Bible? Because you did not see it with your eyes. You had to read it in this book, or somebody told you it was in this book that there was a Jesus. Do you believe that with all of your heart? That first step, you got to hear it. Number 2, you got to believe it. Acts 15 and verse 7. You got to hear the word of the gospel and believe. Number 3, you must repent of your sins. Jesus said this in Luke 13, 3 and 5. I tell your neighbor, except you repent, you're going to perish. Number 4, you must confess. As the eunuch did in Acts 8:37, he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Number 5, you must be baptized for the remission of your sins, Acts 2 and the verse 38. In Revelation 1:5, it tells us that we're washed by the blood of Jesus, who washed us from our sins in his own blood. Acts 22:16, the chief of sinners, or Saul, known as the Apostle Paul, Ananias went to him. He was praying. And Ananias told him, prayer didn't work to save Saul. He said, arise, while thou tarriest, thou arise, be baptized. Wash away your sins. Call in on the name of the Lord. You can't do that until your sins have been washed away. Have you done that tonight? And then the last part, you need to understand this clearly. There's only but one church in the Bible. Acts 2:47, the Bible said, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. See, when you obey the truth, when you're a true believer, God does everything. He gives you instructions. You follow those instructions. You get baptized like he told you. He would then add you to the body of Christ, which is the church of Christ. The only church in the Bible that you can read about is called the church of Christ. Paul told in Romans 16:16, salute one another, holy kiss, the churches of Christ salute you. And we're putting on this call tonight, and we are the churches of Christ.